Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 17th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Admission officers from international universities are expected to visit Zimbabwe next week.
There are 18 universities who are coming both to Bulawayo and to Harare next week, Thursday in Bulawayo, Friday in Harare, and they're hoping to meet top A-level students.
Today we will be focusing on ministers of religion who are making various prophecies at a time locals are struggling to make a living.
Ever since this economic meltdown started, a lot of prophets are coming and forming churches. And these churches are just, you know, an out economy because a lot of unexplainable things happen.
Some Zimbabweans criticized the country's tourism carnival, which recently featured skimpily dressed local girls. And don't miss the Women's Forum this evening as we take a closer look at women's issues. Admission officers from 18 international universities are expected to visit Zimbabwe next week. Coordinator Rebecca Mano of Education USA says the officers will be drawn from universities in America and other countries.
There are 18 universities who are coming both to Bulawayo and to Harare next week, Thursday in Bulawayo, Friday in Harare, and they're hoping to meet top A-level students who are interested in studying in U.S. and Canada.
What exactly are they looking for here?
Each have their different criteria, but basically looking for top students who are finishing or recently completed their A-level, who are also strong in the co-curricular activities, and they do offer financial aid at most of the universities that are coming. There's Canadian universities, as well as one from Japan and one from Spain who have joined the tour. So it's an international tour trying to give different options to students.
Now, looking at what is happening, this is not the first time that U.S. universities are actually sending people to Zimbabwe. So do you see any benefits of them doing that?
I do. The number of students from Zimbabwe, for example, studying in the U.S. has increased by 10% in the last year. And I think the increase in demand and interest is greatly enhanced by people actually coming to the ground and visiting and sharing their universities with the students.
And I think lastly, you can give us an update of the USA program.
We've got Education USA here in Zimbabwe, which works with all students interested in applying to the U.S., and one program within it is the USAP program, which looks every year for top low-income, high-achieving students and helps them as well to apply for scholarships in the U.S. And both of those, Education USA and USAP, are growing from strength to strength.
So how many students have benefited so far?
If you're talking about Education USA, we are now in the thousands and thousands, and with USAP, about 300 have gone to the U.S.
That was Coordinator Rebecca Mano of Education USA speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. A lot has been said about prophets said to be making millions of dollars in Zimbabwe currently facing serious social and economic problems. The majority of Zimbabweans who struggle to get a dollar per day have turned to God for salvation. In some churches, ministers of religion make various prophecies and allegedly heal the sick and disabled. Many of them are parting with their hard-earned few dollars as the prophets give them some hope of a better future. Are these ministers of religion real or just false prophets? For perspective, we reached Prophet Midian Dube of Foundation of Life Ministries International and Maureen Kadema-Wunga, a PhD candidate at Pretoria University. Dube, who has just opened a new branch in South Africa, says they are not false prophets.
It's a pity that when one man goes wrong, everyone else is then painted with the same brush. The Bible says in the last days they shall rise men that are going to be ordained according to people's expectations, and they will preach what they want to hear, the gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus. But at the same time, we need not to forget that there are those who are preaching as per the instruction of the word of God. There are a lot of things that we may have been doing, particularly for me, you would know, Mr. Dube, I could be doing something else. I can still do something else. But because of the call, I have remained in the gospel. So if some of us are in this gospel to preach the risen Christ.
Ms. Kadema-Wunga, you actually wrote to me and said, quote, prophets are conflating religion to create an illusion of success among congregants, and their end game is to harvest from poor masses. What exactly are you talking about there?
I hear what the prophet has just said, that we must separate the good and the bad prophets, because he says, according to the word of God, it is in the end times. But this is a spiritual matter. There is no template against which you can measure a prophet to say, so this one is the right one or this one is the bad one. I think, coming back to the statement that you ask about, we see that in Zimbabwe, ever since this economic meltdown started, a lot of prophets are coming and forming churches. And these churches, to me, like I said to you earlier on, as you quoted, are just, you know, an occult economy. Because a lot of unexplainable things happen where, you know, miracles, which I would rather call magic, are conflated with religion just to create an illusion of success amongst the congregants. And then a lot of them have come up with all these spiritual concepts like, what do you call it, miracle money and such other things. And so a lot of people, the desperate ones, the poor ones, like what Karl Marx said, that religion is the opium of the masses. They go there and they take out the last dollar that they have and give to the prophet with the hope that that money will be returned in form of some miracle or magic money. And you don't really have to work for it, according to the gospel that we are hearing from most of these prophets.
Thank you very much, Ms. Karimaunga. Prophet Dube,
I think the thing is, I will be very direct. Academic cannot be blessed against the word of God. I'm also an academic myself in my own right, but I have never used that to single or to bribe anyone. The Bible says if a prophet is a prophet of God, the word that they declare in the exactly the same time that it is declared, it shall be manifest. Now, there is a difference between a fake prophet and real prophet in that if you see a man who preaches money more than the gospel of Jesus Christ, you begin to ask questions. And I also want to say it is very wrong to say the rise of the gospel is only in Zim. The richest preacher today is in America. The second richest preacher is in Nigeria. You can count the top 10, they are out of Zimbabwe. The Bible says, pray for a spirit of discernment to separate the good from the bad.
Ms. Karimaunga, I think you are hearing what the prophet is saying.
I've read what his appeal for me to be less academic and more spiritual, and then also his points that are more relevant to what we are discussing right now. The issue of the rise of the church in Zimbabwe, I did not say the rise of the church, I said charismatic Pentecostalism. We've always had the church, and we know that throughout history, the church has been used mostly for political and economic reasons. Like he says, he gives examples of rich pastors in America, in Nigeria, rich pastors. Why is he referring only to the rich pastors as examples of the rise of the church in the world? It is concerning the fact that a lot of these people are coming into the game to make money out of the poor people. He also speaks about, you know, measuring the genuinity of a prophet by his word coming to pass. In the Bible, it is mentioned that in the end times, even fake prophets will command fire to come from heaven to earth. And then if he says that the word must come to pass, we've seen the biggest charismatic Pentecostal leaders who have the biggest following have recorded prophecies that they gave 2 years ago, a year ago, that never came to pass. So is the prophet agreeing with me here on radio that those ones, the big ones that will not mention his name, are fake ones?
Let's get an answer from him. Prophet Dube, can you have your response?
Firstly, I want to say to my daughter, I never wanted to pull her to Christianity. There are a lot of fake prophets in the world, and that's the confirmation of the prophetic decree in the Old Testament. In those days, they shall rise men and women who shall preach the Christ that you have never known. So the only thing I'm saying is we must not make conclusions on matters that we are not informed about. So we shouldn't say every prophet is fake. You know, the good thing is we are all going to meet up there. And on that day, we shall know who was right and who was wrong. I have no judgment on any prophet. I have no judgment on any man of God.
That was Prophet Midian Dube of Foundation of Life Ministries International speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. You also heard Maureen Karimaunga, a PhD candidate at the University of South Africa, speaking with Studio 7 from Pretoria, South Africa.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum. My name is Sandra Nyaira. Tonight I'm standing in for Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, and my guest is the International Labour Organization's spokesperson, Maria Mutandwa. Welcome to the program, Mrs. Mutandwa. Tell us more about the International Labour Organization and its programs in Zimbabwe's rural areas to uplift the lives of ordinary women.
Cinema project to 5 districts under a joint program on gender equality, which is a program coordinated by UN Women. The projects are in Kivu, Gutu, Nyanga, Mutoko, and Murewa. And these projects fall under the joint program with ILO taking up Pillar 3, which is on women's economic empowerment and working conditions. The other three pillars are under the coordination of UNFPA, which is looking after the promoting of women security and combating GBV. UNDP is looking after women's political participation and influence. And the fourth pillar is being looked after by UN Women, which is on national accountability on gender equality and women's empowerment. So ILO, as I've already mentioned, we are looking at women's economic empowerment and working conditions. In the 5 districts, quite heavy, they are focusing on an egg production project. There are about 50 women who are women, rural women, who are looking after this project, and they'll benefit economically for themselves and for the community. Then Kunyanga, Murewa, Mutoko, and Gutu, Varkutama horticultural project, and their produce is green vegetables, green beans, butternuts, onions, cabbages, and carrots. The whole program is aimed at poor rural women.
What necessitated the implementation of the joint program on gender equality?
You may be aware that statistics have continued to show that there are gender disparities within Zimbabwe for empowerment of women. And they are aware that due to cultural, economic, and structural imbalances, women remain marginalized. And also we are aware that government is committed internationally, regionally, and within our own constitution to gender equality issues. So what happened some 3 years ago, some 4 UN agencies came together and consulted on the areas that could be focused on to uplift the poor rural women. So they're coming up with the 4 pillars on promoting women's security, women's political participation, women's economic empowerment, and national accountability.
And looking at the ILO itself, what would you say are the future plans for the ILO as far as empowering women in Zimbabwe is concerned?
We do not, Sandra, want to keep women in the livelihood mode or just lifting them out of the bottom of the pyramid poverty or to give them small sector opportunities. We want to take women higher up into entrepreneurship and ensure that their businesses get bigger and that they'll be able to employ more within the communities they live in, and also that there's a larger impact within those communities. And this really contributes to the overall development of the country. The women themselves are so determined to see themselves go out of poverty or move out of poverty. I can share with you, Sandra, that when we went in February to verify the project beneficiaries, the texture of the skin of those women in the project was dull, and they didn't display any confidence. You could talk to them, and most of the time they were looking down. When we went there 2 weeks ago on a monitoring visit, we witnessed a changed woman altogether, outspoken, confident, a shiny face, and clean clothes. It might not be important to someone with access to soap and water all the time, but we are comparing a woman we saw in February and the woman we saw 2 weeks ago, and there's been some transformation. So we hope this will be sustainable well beyond the project, that these women will continue being proud of themselves, being confident, and pushing themselves forward.
Thank you, Maria Mutandwa. That was Maria Mutandwa, the ILO's spokesperson in Harare. Join us again next week on the Women's Forum with Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, your host on the Women's Forum every Saturday. This is Sandra Nyaira saying good night, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe's state-sponsored tourism carnival, which featured many artists including samba dancers from Brazil and skimpily dressed local girls, has been praised by some for promoting tourism and upset several other Zimbabweans. Margaret Makura, who spoke to Reuters during the weekend event, questioned the appropriateness of the annual Harare International Carnival given the country's economic hardships.
Considering the economic situation in our country, I think it's a waste of the taxpayers' money. There is drought, definitely. In the low belt areas, people are starving.
Former legislator and cultural activist Tandeko Zitimkandla was also not happy about some skimpily dressed local girls.
This is an abomination of the highest order. We should show that we're cultured and well-mannered people. It may be good for other nations, but we as Zimbabwe, we are not, some of us, impressed by this kind of behavior. We are complaining day in, day out about the unethical and immoral behavior of our young people. Yet apparently here is a full grown-up adult who encourages them to be paraded naked.
But some, Mr. Mkandla, argue that there's nothing wrong with that kind of thing.
We always have all sorts of very funny and weird people in our midst. Yes, if they don't say anything wrong with that, it's because they have an objective, they have an agenda, which they will try to justify under the cloak of terrorism. But the truth is, as a people, we cover our bodies. We may as well, all of us, remove what we are wearing and move about naked because we want to be tourist attraction. I'm saying they may, because some people sink to the lowest level that we can ever imagine to get a dollar.
That was former legislator and cultural activist Tandeko Zitimkandla speaking with Studio 7 from Gwanda, Matabeleland South Province. But Zimbabwe Tourism Authority Chief Executive Kariko Kakaseke defended such criticism, saying the occasion was uplifting.
A carnival is meant to induce happiness in people. When the economy is down, we must find something that will make people happy. This is the most appropriate time to have a carnival.
That was ZTA boss Kariko Kakaseke speaking with Reuters in Harare. The carnival is designed to boost Zimbabwe's tourism.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Embassy Deputy Chief of Mission Michael Klein opened the International Atomic Energy Agency workshop on the fundamentals of nuclear safeguards and the additional protocol, held this month in Vientiane, Laos. This workshop was sponsored by the U.S. government through the U.S. Department of Energy and co-hosted by the Department of International Organizations, Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Lao PDR. During the workshop, 30 participants from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Science and Technology, and other concerned government sectors, as well as the National University of Laos, learned about nuclear safety. Experts from a number of organizations, including the U.S. Department of Energy, Argonne National Laboratory, Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, delivered presentations and conducted interactive exercises designed to introduce participants to international nuclear safeguards. Discussions during the event also covered implementation of the additional protocol, which is a supplement to existing safeguards agreements. During his welcoming remarks, U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission Michael Klein congratulated the Lao DDR on signing the additional protocol in November 2014, as it is a clear demonstration of its commitment to nuclear nonproliferation. This workshop helps ensure that states develop the necessary infrastructure and safeguards to protect against nuclear accidents or proliferation. The United States is proud to work with its partner Laos to ensure that nuclear energy is used safely for the benefit of the people of Laos, the Asia-Pacific region, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Now to recap today's top stories. Admission officers from 18 international universities are expected to visit Zimbabwe next week. And prophets are being criticized for conducting false healing sessions at a time Zimbabweans are struggling to make a living. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.